Hey, beautiful soul. This is the Menopause Coach Podcast with me, your host, Adele Johnston. I'm helping you create a vibrant life of joy and happiness without your menopause stealing your personal power and sass. Together, we're making menopause mainstream.
Menopause in itself is actually only one day. Yet we hear this word branded across supplement ranges, pillow ranges, clothing ranges, but it's still just one day. Yeah, kind of marketed that wrong, didn't they? We really need perimenopause and postmenopause ranges.
Welcome back to another very, very special episode of the Menopause Coach Podcast. With me, your host, as always, Adele Johnston, the Menopause Coach and very proud educator. As we look at this very special episode today, we are absolutely thrilled to announce that today marks our 100th episode. How cool is that? Cue the confetti. Let's celebrate. Get all of the music pumping and blaring. It's a milestone that we are here together celebrating being in this space for 100 episodes. So cool. So to mark this occasion, we have an incredibly important topic that we are going to discuss together today, and one that affects so many women around the world. Right now, 1.2 billion of us. That's right. We're diving deep into the space of everything you need to know about menopause and bringing zero of the nonsense. Yeah, you should know this by now with me, that it is all about everything we need to know inside this podcast space are reputable and sourced, not myth or fad. So whether you're experiencing menopause for yourself and you are here because you want to know more, or whether you're here because you are going to be and are supporting a loved one through this transition, then I am sending you love, and I love that you are here. So stick around, because this episode is super packed with valuable information and insights, and I know that you are going to be able to trust this. You can come back to it. So let's just get started and jumping inside this special episode. Menopause is a very natural biological process, one that we hear a lot of people saying, and we absolutely agree with that. Of course we do. It's a stage within a woman's life where our fertile or reproductive years end, and I want to just cover exactly what that entails, what it means, and we're going to start by understanding the basics together. So first off, what is it that causes menopause? It's primarily driven by hormonal changes or hormonal drops, particularly a decline in estrogen, or estrogen for my American and Canadian ladies, and that is produced within the ovaries. Now, this hormonal shift can lead to a wide range of symptoms, everything from hot flushes, night sweats, mood swings, sleep disturbances. These are the more common ones that we really associate with menopause. But we're going to also cover off later in the episode a few of the ones that we might never have pinpointed as being menopausal. But here's the thing, menopause is not a one-size-fits-all experience. Yeah, it's very unique to you as an individual, or to the individual you are here to support. And it can vary greatly from one woman to another. We never hear two stories the exact same, because this is unique in how your body or the person you're supporting's body will journey through this time. And in both terms, and I suppose when we think about not just symptoms, but also timings, durations, impacts, some individuals may just feel like it's a breeze. Yeah, we hear this quite a lot. I just breezed through menopause. I didn't notice anything different. I felt absolutely fine, a few hot flushes, a few sleepless nights, and then it was kind of all over. And then others who have a really significant life alteration that comes from this time in their life. And that can be challenging too, right? Because while some people face this time in their menopause journey as being quite easy-ozy, others are really significantly challenged by it. That's problematic. That's not something we can just sit back and say, oh, it's just your menopause, you just have to get on with it. No, we don't. So let's start at the beginning. Women are born with all the eggs that they ever will have within their body. And this occurs during fetal development. Yes, yes, yes. We've heard that right. Fetal development, which means that the female fetus inside the womb starts with around 1 to 2 million eggs. 1 to 2 million. You did hear that right. So in the fetal organs. By the time that baby girl is born,
Yeah, so we're going to name her as a girl for this episode and state that she is female with female reproductive organs, which is where those eggs are housed, where they are. That number has already then started to decrease to about 1 million by the time that she is born. Now, of course, there is puberty, and this is when that girl evolves into a young woman. So when a baby girl is born, she is born with around 1 million eggs inside her ovaries, inside her female reproductive organs, ready to come out into this world, and then she will start puberty. And as she starts to evolve into a woman throughout her life, those egg numbers start to decrease steadily through a process where the eggs are particularly lost, but only in a fraction at a time to start with. Okay, so a fraction of those eggs will be lost over time. Not all of them will ever mature, and not all of them will be released during ovulation. So it's important to note that not every one of those eggs will ever make it out, right? That's important. You don't release every egg in your body, technically, okay? Even though your body produces them, you don't release every single one of them. And as many of these never make ovulation, the majority of those eggs undergo a process of degeneration and are reabsorbed back into the body without ever being ovulated, without ever being a thing, right? And this is why the number of eggs in a woman's ovaries decreases steadily over time, because we're not releasing them all. Only a few will make it out, and the rest will then be reabsorbed as they're broken down into the body and reabsorbed back up. So each menstrual cycle typically only will be one egg released, although occasionally more than one can be released, and of course, if fertilized, hello twins. Particularly in cases of multiple ovulations, and we can have that, okay? Every woman is unique, as we know, and by the time that this woman reaches puberty, she's typically got around 300,000 to 400,000 eggs remaining. So that million has dropped right through her childhood into the point that she reaches puberty and starts to bleed her menstrual cycle. This decreasing of numbers continues with age. Now, if we fast forward and we get to the beautiful age of 30, while the exact number can never be greatly defined from woman to woman, it's estimated that by the time a female reaches the age of 30 years old, you will have approximately around 100,000 eggs remaining in your ovaries. So we've gone from 1 to 2 million in fetal to 1 million at birth, so then dropping it down to typically 300 to 400,000 eggs by the time you reach puberty. By the time you reach the age of 30, that has dropped right down to approximately 100,000 eggs remaining in your ovaries. And then by the time you reach 40, a woman will typically have fewer eggs remaining in the ovaries compared to when you were younger. By this age, the number of eggs has continued to decline due to natural processes. This is what's meant to happen, and that overall aging of our reproductive system and organs. Now, on average, a woman at the age of 40 may have around 10,000 to 20,000 eggs remaining in your ovaries. So 30 years old, approximately 100,000, 40 years old, approximately 10,000 to 20,000 eggs remaining. And this is just estimated, okay, we don't know exact numbers and everyone is unique. However, it does greatly vary amongst individuals. And when we think about these eggs reducing, it's not only in numbers, but it's also in their quality. Yeah, reduced quality along with quantity. So once we appreciate that this is a stage that females will go through, we appreciate that the fertility journey is a window. Yeah, it's like that window of opportunity. And it's important because many women are delaying trying for any biological family of their own until well into their 30s and 40s and sometimes beyond. And we just have to look at how fast those eggs are depleting in quantity levels and also quality and value of. So there's something else happening at this point in a woman's life, as well as this egg decreasing or degeneration, I suppose, as it starts to drop and decline. The hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone are also starting to drop and decline as the female body journeys through this fertility window. So I want to take this opportunity at this stage to make sure that we cover this from birth right through to menopause. And the stage that we have just covered in the menopause journey, as young girls beginning their menstrual cycle, having a monthly bleed or period, is called premenopause. Okay, think of this as stage 1 of 4. So premenopause, puberty begins, we start to bleed, we have our menstrual cycle, a nice healthy menstrual cycle each month or each 28 to 30 odd days. And that's great. There we are. We're living in our life. We're teenagers. We're right through into our 20s, right through into our 30s. And as many women then enter their late 30s and early 40s, the changes within estrogen, particularly the queen bee element of estrogen, because there are 4 estrogens that we have, the queen bee element of it called estradiol. Okay, those 4 estrogens in the body, estradiol is the queen bee of them all, the most potent. And this is where receptors around the body, every single organ, every part of the female body has estrogen receptors. Yeah, even your skin. So if you look at your skin under a really, really, really intense magnifying glass, yeah, piece of equipment, then you will see that there are estrogen receptors within the skin as well. So as we start to see that this element, this queen bee of our estrogen hormones, estradiol, starts to decrease, of course, this is the element we lose most of because it's the one we need most of, right? Flaw in the design. So as we start to see the decrease of this, it's important to note that once we start to reach our postmenopausal stage, so stage 4, and we are going to cover all 4 of these stages today, we note that you not only are dropping lots of hormones, but you are reaching anywhere from just under 2 a maximum of 1% of your estradiol that you had when you were in your pre-menopause stage to your post-menopause stage. So that's quite a drastic amount of a drop, isn't it? We're pretty much losing all of our estradiol by the time we reach stage 4 post-menopause compared to that in stage 1 pre-menopause years when you begin your fertile window to ending it. We therefore want to get inside stage 2, which is perimenopause. Now, perimenopause still seems like this stage in a journey that many medical specialists and doctors just cannot fathom. In fact, when we hear this, right, when we hear the you're too young to be in menopause narrative that we absolutely must work on overcoming, this is where if we can at least get some awareness or education to raise awareness inside the medical space that women don't typically go from pre-menopause stage to post-menopause in one swoop. Okay, that is unless, of course, they experience medical or surgical reasons for that jump from pre-menopause years to post-menopause years, stage 1 to stage 4, if we look at it like that. And for many women, there can be interruptions to that, of course, with women who undergo cancer treatments, endometriosis treatments, childbirth complications. So it can happen, of course. But we are looking at this journey as we go through all 4 stages for today's episode, and we are going to jump inside stage 2 for perimenopause. Now, this is a stage whereby many women in their 30s start to notice things that are just starting to feel off. Now, if you've been following this podcast for some time now, I've shared intertwined in different episodes parts of my own journey in my early 30s, around 33, recognizing that things just didn't feel right. You know, not being able to really point your finger on any one thing, but just feeling off. By 35, knowing that it was hormonal imbalances for me that were particularly possibly related to early perimenopause. At 37, after 2 years of intensive medical checks, biopsies, scans, you name it, very blessed and grateful that they all got done and came back clear, a good bill of health, but it didn't explain still how I was feeling because I was being advised that everything was clear, healthy and great when I just felt horrendous by the time I had hit 37, which is when I had it officially confirmed that I was in fact in early perimenopause. Now, if we look back on the journey, it had probably started to become a problem for me in my early 30s at 33, 35, really significantly noticing it. By 37, I was so vastly unwell with the symptoms. So again, we can't quite put our finger on what it is. We just know we don't feel great at that age. You may be experiencing some hair loss when you're in the shower. You may have itchy skin. You may be experiencing things like migraine attacks. Yeah, these are all things that can happen. You might be someone who notices heavier or lighter periods, longer or shorter timescales. Yeah, missed periods even, and you're not pregnant. So it's all very much an individual experience. Vaginal soreness, swelling, painful sex or foreplay, dry vagina leading to very much a severe case of irritation there, heart palpitations, health anxiety. You know, these are all symptoms I experienced personally. If you look at the list of the symptoms that we have, they're quite vast, aren't they? So this list of symptoms, quite bewildering actually to me, that we typically find that a lot of women are told that everything is normal, even though they're experiencing all of these onset of symptoms, that we just don't have the awareness and knowledge that perimenopause is that stage two within a four-stage process of this journey. So when we examine those as individuals, yeah, I probably could have been diagnosed with multiple different things and given multiple different prescriptions and pharmaceutical interventions for, when in fact, if we could lead it all back into the bigger picture, it's a, okay, Adele, there's a high possibility this is perimenopause. And actually, if we maybe introduce a little top up of some of these lost hormones for you, progesterone and estradiol, then we can trial that with you and see if it makes a difference to how you feel. Now, for me personally, I recognised that once I had had my Mirena coil removed for biopsies and checks, I then had it replaced for contraceptive reasons, not for anything else. And within 12 hours of me having that Mirena coil replaced, which gives a synthetic form of progesterone known as a progestogen, levonorgestrel as the kind of main medical term for it, I felt much better. It was absolutely incredible how quickly a lot of the symptoms I was experiencing either became a lot more manageable or completely disappeared. And that was my kind of aha, you know, that light bulb switched on moment at 36 years old as I started to journey through this process, that this was in fact something that needed to happen. And then 37 by the time the medical teams had all agreed with me. So yeah, bewildering. It really does. It baffles me. Talking about symptoms. So these symptoms, again, as we recognise them, can change for, and they can be at different levels of the extreme scale for different women. But when we think about them, there are typically some symptoms and signs that we will all experience at some point. Yeah. And I'm going to touch upon these, knowing that these are the typical ones that we tend to hear more about within our coaching support programmes. So typically weight gain around the abdominal area or the belly. And we hear a lot from women inside our coaching program talk about how they never understood why they were gaining belly fat. They hadn't changed anything. They were living the same type of lifestyle. They couldn't explain what was happening and why, and unable to understand that when they were trying to work through this with their bodies, that it just wasn't getting any better for them. And that has a real big impact on your ability to feel really empowered in your confidence with yourself. If your clothing is no longer fitting, no longer feeling good, that does have an impact on your self-esteem and your confidence. And we can't allow that. It's so important that we maintain that level of self-love and confidence throughout our menopausal journey. So for me, it was all about the power of knowledge. And with each of our ladies, we would share with them, well, why is this happening? So the biology of the body and what is happening inside the body to create these abdominal fat cells or lipids, and what can we do about that? Yeah, so multiple strategies that we can absolutely adopt for that. So the power is knowledge. Yeah. And then it's not about holding on to it. It's about sharing it. It's about others being aware of it. So perimenopause is that stage two, whereby many women in their 30s start to feel a bit off. Can't quite put your finger on it. You just feel a bit yuck. And over the course of around 10 years, give or take, can experience a lot of worsening symptoms before you recognize, wait a minute, I've not had a period for a few months. And then it goes on to 6 to 9 to 12 months of no bleed consecutively. At that point, you are then moving into stage three of your journey, menopause. The big gun, the big word. Menopause in itself is actually only one day. Yet we hear this word brandied across supplement ranges, pillow ranges, clothing ranges, but it's still just one day. Yeah? Kind of marketed that wrong, didn't they? We really need perimenopause and postmenopause ranges. Because ladies, this is where we are spending most of your menopause journey. Not in stage three of menopause, you're actually spending the majority of the time stage two and stage four. So perimenopause stage two in the journey lasting approximately 10 years, menopause stage three in the journey lasting one day. This is when you've had 12 consecutive months of no period or bleed, plus one day. That one day is your menopause day. After which we move into stage four of the journey, which is where you will now spend the rest of your life, typically from around your early 50s, and estimated to be about a third of your life spent in postmenopause. Now, this stage in the journey is fascinating to someone like me who loves to read some research. Yes, I do. It's a bit of a hobby of mine. I like to understand how this transition can be made more comfortable, enjoyable, a positive spin. Yeah, it's not going to be easy for everyone, but how we can absolutely understand that within each of these phases and stages of our journey and our fertility window, that if we know more about what is happening and why, that we are then empowered to be able to take our own decisions, that autonomy, that empowered action, and be able to say what is and is not acceptable for our own bodies. Yeah, I come back to this whole piece around this is your one and only body. So please do not just let other people journey your menopause for you. Now, our ancestors never lived much past their menopause journey. Okay, it wasn't actually known what it was. And in the Victorian years, these women were sent to the doctor, or equivalent of the doctor, with what they called and branded as hysteria. I mean, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? But because these women were journeying through their menopause and it was not understood what it was, because typically these women did not live much past their early 50s. Around about 52 years old was the average age of one of our Victorian sisters. So of course, she would journey through her perimenopause and be branded as having hysteria and then not live much past her 50th birthday. But because we are living longer now and we're spending a third of our lives approximately in postmenopausal stage of life, yes, it's quite a risky stage for women that we do need to be fully aware of and have that empowered knowledge to decide what you want to do by the time your body reaches that stage. So let me explain what I mean by risky, because I don't want to cause any fear, but I also want to get the point across that when you navigate through to stage four of postmenopause, it does not mean that you are done. I hear this so many times from so many women. I'm through it now. I'm out the other side. I've no longer got menopause. And actually for me, it's like, yeah, but actually, this is the most riskiest stage of your life right now and you don't know it. Yeah. So the word risk is quite heavy, but I appreciate that when we talk about the impacts of what I'm going to share here on the female biology, you'll agree with me that it's the right word to use. So let's reverse a little bit. As estradiol, that queen bee hormone within our estrogens, yeah, remember we've got four of those, estradiol is one of them. Estradiol drops drastically over stage two, which is perimenopause, and stage four, which is postmenopause, and we end up having pretty much nothing there anymore postmenopausal. So between, well, just under 1% of what we had when we were in our premenopause life. Now, in the menopause journey, it actually takes away a lot of the protection from your brain as a woman, from your organs, your bones, your cells. Your entire body is affected by the reduction of estradiol in particular. And you can go from having high levels in stage one, so premenopause, nice, beautiful, abundant levels of estradiol, to pretty much nothing in stage four for postmenopause. And that has actually been linked to a greater risk of osteoporosis. So for women, that can be very fatal, especially for women that have a hip fracture or a break. It can be fatal within a 12-month window after the fall. Now, one in two women will develop osteoporosis, not might. We have the stats that show one in two women will develop osteoporosis. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to have a fatal fall, but it does mean that your risk of that is greater. Heart disease and cardiovascular disease, massively linked to lowering estradiol levels in the female body. And we can see that even as great as a 50% higher risk of heart disease or heart attacks, and even strokes, are prevalent within postmenopausal women. And these women who were otherwise healthy before menopause. Sarcopenia is another one. So this is wastage of the muscle volume. Yeah, also linked to lower estradiol levels and can also result in greater risk of fractures because, well, bone protection, right? And as we get some new research, which is paving the way in the neuroscience space, we've got these hypothesized outputs that are particularly interesting studies that show estradiol is brain protective and carries great health support for the brain and body through its presence. So if we remove that estradiol from the female body through a third of her life, we're basically in this very black and white way of saying this. We're waiting to go. Yeah, it's that risk of if we remove something that's so brain, heart, bone, organ protective, anti-inflammatory, supportive of cellular repair, and, you know, right at the heart. Yeah, really supportive of the heart. If we have that hormone that's basically just dropping out and dropping off, maybe off, not out is the right way to say it. We're living in this stage of life where we're just kind of like, right, well, that's it then, right? I'm kind of just waiting to go now. So I don't know about you, but I fully appreciate we're not here to live forever. No one wants to live forever. We want to experience life. We want to experience our purpose, but equally, we want to be able to do that with our health and our mobility. We don't want to wake up and slowly but surely be losing muscle volume so we can no longer stand up ourselves off the toilet. We all of a sudden need to have some home help support because we're no longer mobile enough or stable enough on our feet. We then have mobility aids to support us because we just don't have the muscle volume to support our body to stand and move anymore. Yeah, even drinking a cup of tea on our own can be problematic because we can't control the mug or the cup anymore. A lot of this we take for granted, and I appreciate that for some of you listening to this right now, it might feel a little bit triggering and heavy, and I send love to you for this, but I also don't make any apologies for sharing this knowledge, because it's important that we understand and we get to take the responsible action for our own bodies as soon as we are able to. There's no time better than now. It does not matter where you are in the four stages of this process. The time is now for you to be able to claim this knowledge and say, what do I want for my body? The one and only body I ever have had and ever will have. So it is possible for you to make those transition changes and make them a bit easier for your body. We know that low-dose estradiol replacement as part of hormone therapy can be effective, really effective actually, in supporting the body during this reduction phase. But it's not that we just want the levels to sit where they once were as teenage years. We rather want to just minimize the impacts on the brain and the body through the stages of menopause transition. Okay, making sure that we have a nice level that's researched enough to say, yep, we're comfortable that this level that you have is brain, heart, bone, muscle, organ protective. So tick the box. Yeah, and we get to maintain that as best possible. So noting this, it's not for everyone. Yeah, hormone replacement therapy. And some women, a very small population, cannot replace their hormones. I appreciate that. So speak with your medical teams, your menopause support groups, your menopause specialists, and definitely get some support on what is next for you. Lifestyle plays a really important role in all of this. Think of this as your non-negotiable foundations of care. Yeah, and you can manage symptoms and manage your transition through these four phases with such grace and vibrancy. Yeah, no one-size-fits-all solution, but plenty of strategies and resources that are available to help you, from lifestyle adjustments, dietary changes, right through to hormone therapy and alternative therapies for that case as well. So it's finding what works best for you and what you want for your body, okay? Really important. So before we continue, I want to just take a moment to reflect on our journey together. 100 episodes. Honestly, you should see the smile on my face right now. That's 100 episodes that we have been here in this education space, in this empowerment space, uplifting each other. And I want to extend my deepest gratitude to each and every one of you for listening in each week, old and new, and joining us on this incredible journey. When I started the Menopause Coach podcast, it was really just to share some of the things, some of the learnings, some of the thought processes that I had along the way. And it has evolved and grown into such a beautiful community where I love each and every week where you email me and you share with me what you've taken away from an episode. For some of you, we chat inside emails because you've used one of the episodes to navigate your own menopause care. And it's phenomenal to hear that you can do that with what you learn here. So as we grow in this collective, I love that we have this space together. Please help me in celebrating by sharing this episode with at least one other person today. Okay, the more that we grow, the more that we can do in this space to enhance the knowledge and the understanding, and the more that this podcast can then grow, and maybe we can even get some really, truly outstanding guests to come chat with us. But in order for that to happen, we continuously need to grow and reach more people. So it's important to remember that while menopause marks the end of your fertile years, it's also the beginning of a new chapter in life. And with the right support and mindset, it can be a time of self-discovery, empowerment, renewed vibrancy, opportunity, and really big positivity. I promise you. It can, because I've been on the opposite side, and coming through into this space of pure joy and happiness, it's not an easy ride each day. Symptoms will still rear their heads, but when you have the right support around you and really holding your hand through that journey, it's incredible what happens. And I don't want you to forget the importance of seeking professional guidance and support. You are never far away from being able to reach someone that can help you. Whether it's your own healthcare provider, a menopause coach, I can certainly help you there, have a phenomenal team and an even more amazing graduate community of our certification with the MSCC, so the Menopause Support Coach certification, that I can connect you with if you want to explore employing and working with your own menopause coach for a short window of time, because you do not need us forever. Menopause is not a forever transition. Once you have established what works for you strategy-wise and you appreciate what your body needs, you're able to then take the reins and live the rest of your life in your postmenopausal stage feeling vibrant and sassy and abundant and all the positive things. So in wrapping up our very special episode today, I just want to emphasize that menopause is not the end, it is your transition. A transition, an opportunity for growth. So embrace it with open arms and open heart and remember that you're not alone on this journey. You just need to email me, adele@adelejohnstoncoaching.com, or join the mailing list. And every Monday I will email you and you can simply hit reply to that email to chat with me. Or you can DM me and I will be there to help you with what you deserve and need. So that brings us to the end of our 100th episode. So amazing. Where we've gone deeply inside explaining menopause in the stages. So thank you once again for being part of the Menopause Coach podcast family. It's incredible having you each and every week. And remember, no matter where you are in your own menopause journey, we are here to support you every step of the way with what you need. So own what you need and step forward for yourself. And until next time, stay empowered, stay informed, and stay fabulous. And know this, you are loved, you are appreciated, and you are special. Never forget that, from me to you. I truly hope this episode has sparked something vibrant inside of you. I ask only one thing. To help keep these episodes coming, please subscribe and share with another in your life. That's how we reach more women worldwide, and we help them step into their power. Because together, we are working to remove any of the stigma and taboo that surrounds menopause. This does not need to be a daunting, a scary, a taboo time in anyone's life. So together, let's make menopause mainstream.